And welcome to the Swiss Info programme for the 26th of July. I'm Jo Fay. Switzerland's asylum centres are under pressure. The government has to find a place for people to stay, and everything from underground army barracks to old hotels on the side of mountains are being used. A fast-track asylum procedure is one way the government's trying to deal with the situation. We'll find out how it works and where Switzerland took inspiration from. And what about the children who come along with their parents? School lessons just for asylum seekers have been set up as part of the pilot project. We take a look inside the classroom and find out what can be learnt and how in the space of just a few weeks.
Who are you? Do you need medical help? Where do you come from?
A video at a processing centre in Zurich explains the asylum-seeking process to would-be refugees upon their arrival in Switzerland.
You must tell the truth. In the interviews, you must say why you need protection in Switzerland.
In total, over 3,100 people received asylum in Switzerland in 2013, a quarter more than in 2012. Although the average number of new applications fell in 2013 to nearly 21,500, tens of thousands of people are still waiting to hear what their fate will be. Since January 2014, the Swiss government has been trying out something completely different. In one test centre in Zurich, they're trying to dramatically slash the average time it takes to process these applications, from 1,400 days to just 140. The processing centre is a large grey building with long, cold corridors. This is where asylum seekers take their first steps in Switzerland on a tough journey to being allowed to stay. It's a matter of form filling and answering questions before going on to where they'll stay. Claudio Martelli runs the asylum trial projects for the Swiss government. He showed us around the processing centre, pointing out what happens where.
In this area, the entire identity clarification procedure takes place. The asylum seekers are photographed as they need the photo for their case file. They have their fingerprints taken and then we compare them to the relevant data bank.
One vital element of the trial run to speed up the asylum process is giving free legal help to the asylum seekers. One floor below in the same building at the processing centre, the legal advisers can be found.
The offices of the legal representatives and legal advisers are open between 8 and 5. Asylum seekers can come and go and they can contact them whenever they need to.
It's not compulsory, but most do take up the offer. Dominique Vettli is head of People in Crisis, a Bern-based organisation that works with a few other groups to provide the legal advice at the centre.
The questions they're most interested in and occupied with at first are things like, where are they? Why were they sent to Zurich? What kind of procedure is this exactly? Who are the different participants? For them, it's also important to know how long the procedure will last.
The asylum seekers return to the legal advisory offices at different points during the procedure, including if they want to make an appeal after their first application fails.
Here we already know each case really well, though when it comes to making an appeal within the time limit, we have an ample amount of time to write up the report.
To get some perspective on the length of time assigned to process these requests and whether 140 days is long enough, I called Chris Pollitt, a senior legal officer at the European Council on Refugees and Exiles, or ECRE.
It really depends on the complexity of the case as to, you know, how much time is needed to take a well-informed decision. Where all the procedural safeguards for the individual applicant have been respected at the same time. Nevertheless, I think, of course, decisions should be taken within a reasonable time. And I think what is about to become a bit the norm in Europe is to have a decision at the first instance level on an asylum application within 6 months. Also, from our perspective, that is a reasonable amount of time.
Pollitt added that in practice, they see the application process taking place with lots of different timeframes around Europe right now. An approach that a number of countries have been trying out is to front-load the process. Sweden is one such location where they trialled a project to speed up the asylum system a few years ago, as it was taking 10 to 12 months at the time. Marcus Torimar from the Swedish Migration Centre told me how they did it.
The first thing was really that try and get an early interview with the asylum applicant and really start from day one and try and use a lot of our staff that at that moment didn't meet asylum applicants very much, and try and use more staff at the early stages of the process rather than at the later stages, and do the right thing from the beginning in the case.
Did you manage to cut down the times, and by how much?
The times, we cut them down by 2/3 at the point where we were most successful. But at the moment, we have a lot more applicants than we did in those days, and this affects the time. It depends a lot on how many are coming.
The time to take an initial first decision in Sweden was reduced to somewhere between 8 to 10 weeks. But a large increase in refugees from Syria in 2012 pushed times back up again. 8 days, 10 weeks, 3 months, what's best? I asked Chris Pollett from the ECRE.
If it is a case where it is quite clear that that person is in need of international protection and would need to have a refugee status, I think the sooner you can provide a status to that person, the better, of course. And for those type of cases, of course, such a procedure would actually be a very good thing. In cases which require much more research, actually, into the substance of the case, the facts and all that, the very speed of those type of procedures, of course, is an inherent risk in taking possibly a wrong decision.
On the outskirts of the city of Zurich, on an industrial estate, about 15 minutes away from the processing centre, is the Juch Asylum Centre. Those whose applications are being processed as part of the trial live here temporarily. As I walk in through the centre's unlocked gates, a van is waiting to take a group of men off to work for the day. They'll be paid a very small amount in Swiss francs for doing some weeding or cleaning pathways in the woods. Others are pushing wheelbarrows of dirt away from a site where a football pitch is being dug out. Another man sits on a plastic chair, talking to someone on a mobile phone. The accommodation where these people could live for almost 5 months is long rows of wooden huts. They're clean and tidy, but basic. Inside, another temporary resident is doing the washing up. I'm shown the different sections of the sleeping quarters. Men and women sleep on different corridors, except for some family rooms, when core members of a family stay in one room together. A group of women sit together in an empty room. There are fitness facilities on site, and German lessons are provided for adults who want to learn. The asylum seekers can leave in the daytime, so long as they're back at night for a certain time. And they can stay away from the centre for the whole weekend, if they have somewhere to go and can afford it, of course. For the children in the centre, though, it can be a particularly difficult and disruptive time. As a specialist in children, Ellen Supiostavid, project officer at the European Council on Refugees and Exiles, told me.
Their access to education that might have been disrupted if they've been on the road for a while, they've been in a country at war, like in Syria, for example, at the moment. So it's quite important for their personal development that they can have access to education again as soon as possible.
However, the children at the Juch Centre don't head off to their local school to join in the class there, as the majority of asylum seekers in Switzerland would do. They attend classes set up especially for asylum seekers only. Thomas Kunz is the director of the Zurich Asylum Organisation, which is working with the Federal Office for Migration on the project. While I was on my visit to the asylum centre, I asked him how these school classes were working.
For the children, it's really good. Most of them like going. The challenge is that there is a lot of change, because the people aren't at the centre for very long. We have a few other schools similar to this one, but in those, the kids stay in the one place for 3 to 6 months. They might only be here sometimes for a matter of days.
Markus Truniger, head of intercultural education science for elementary schools in Canton Zurich, told me why it can be hard finding space in a school for these kids.
It's difficult to integrate them when the rotation is so high. There are small communities, small villages, with small schools. And when every 4 months 10 to 20 new children come along, it's difficult.
If the school can accommodate the kids, they'll be put in introductory classes to learn German alongside a share of normal lessons. This is generally the case, but because the length of time these fast-track children are potentially going to be in the country, it was decided to set up special classes for them in the asylum centre. The children have 28 lessons per week, as they would in an ordinary school. But what's the main focus for them?
The aim is that the children have the chance to learn and go to school. That's number one, that they are not just in the centre, that they actually go to school. For those who don't speak any German, they start learning. Of course, there is also math, social history, geography, drawing, music and sport. But the priority is to get acquainted with the German language and the school, the area and Switzerland, essentially.
The temporary school is situated outside of the asylum centre gates and behind an unmarked door on an unremarkable building nearby. Two classrooms with two teachers have been set up inside. Gina Zuberbühler is one of the centre's teachers. I asked her how the children react to coming to her classes.
They are really happy to be here. Some like it because of the regular structure that it gives them, and some like it because it makes a bit of a change. They don't have the chance to go on any trips. Their parents have a lot of appointments. They can't really do that with them. And also, the classroom is really their space, not their parents.
Zuberbühler is teaching the younger children, aged around 5 or 6 years old. One plays with building blocks off to the side, while a group of three sit at a low table with her, looking at animal picture books.
German is definitely the priority. Lots is learnt through play with the little ones. But they haven't all been to school before. They can't all write. And some are 6 or 7 years old already. They do have to slowly get started.
The week follows a set routine, including trips out into the woods or local countryside and a morning at the library. Although they're quite rare, there were 11 such introductory classes already taking place at asylum processing centres in the canton when this one was started. Similar full-time introductory classes, but in schools, number around 20. Claudio Boltzmann, professor in sociology at the University of Geneva, said that how best to teach children in this situation is still undecided overall.
In Switzerland, there is a debate about if the children of migrants should be integrated at school as early as possible. Many specialists say that the best things for children of migrants is to be integrated as soon as possible in school. Here we have a different model, especially if these children are going to stay in Switzerland, maybe this could affect them in the future.
The potential for the children to feel cut off from the rest of society is something to be considered.
They will be isolated in a special milieu. So I think it is contradictory with the general political of integration that authorities want to develop for children of migrants.
But the use of such closed classes to acclimatise children can be beneficial and even recommended at first, according to Supio Stavid from the ECRE.
You can maybe understand that for a sort of a preparatory period, they would be separated from the normal school, also to have some sort of welcome classes, adaptation classes. But we don't believe that it should be for too long, because if we're looking at an integration from the beginning, then it is important that they are in a normal school system, so they can have interaction with local children and not feel outcast.
Thank you for listening. There's much more on our website, swissinfo.ch, about the asylum process in Switzerland. And thank you to technician Ivan Steiner for his work on this programme. I'm Jo Fay, and you've been listening to the Swiss Info podcast.